Time for an annual checkup? How about just checking in? How about a tune-up? This is Father Vasquez. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, psychological, physical, and everything in between. We look at life through the most ancient of all Christian traditions, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 538 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vasquez. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I love it. I love it. It's just like, okay, you are here at a moment in history. You are here in a moment in history where it is fulfilled. I'm reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 4. It is at the beginning of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. He begins his ministry by being baptized, by retreating from the world for 40 days, 40 nights, and then returning. And as St. Luke recounts over here, he came into Nazareth. And he walks into this synagogue and they give him the scripture and he opens it up. This is what's interesting. He opens it up to the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus Christ begins his ministry with these words. It's basically defining himself, isn't it? It's his mission statement. This is why I am here. I'm using this because it is a passage that I refer to at the very, very least once a year, but I actually look at it quite a bit. But the point is that once a year on the anniversary of my ordination, I take a moment to reflect, to compare where I'm at in my ministry with what the game plan should be, with what the mission statement is. In fact, so much so is it the mission statement that during the ordination service of every priest, the ordination, the gospel reading during the ordination is this passage. In other words, this is your mission. It's Jesus' mission, it's your mission. And so I just celebrated the 36th anniversary. Holy moly, I can't believe it. 36th anniversary of my ordination yesterday. And I do this, and I think we all do it, don't we? We find certain marks in life. I think the most celebrated one is the one we all look at, New Year's, right? New Year's, it gives you a moment to reflect on the past. How did the past year go? It gives you a moment to anticipate, maybe even set some goals for the future. It's a reflective moment. I suspect that for many of you, your birthdays, your anniversaries, these are those moments where you kind of look back, okay, I'm at this particular age, what have I done, where am I going? It's a moment of reflection, and so it is with me. Every year on the anniversary of my ordination, I take a look at this particular passage, the mission statement, the mission of Jesus Christ, and what he passes along to us. And I have a little set ritual on my anniversary. Actually, I got a very interesting call from a very dear, dear deacon friend in Fresno. And he said, when it's a movable feast, do you celebrate on the date or on the feast day itself? And what he meant by that is I was ordained on the feast of the Holy Cross of Varak, Varak Achach. The Christian church has three main celebrations dedicated to the Holy Cross of Christ, namely the elevation of the Holy Cross, which was a couple days ago, usually around September 15th. I say usually because it is a set date for some traditions in our church. It is right around September 15th. It's the Sunday that's closest. There is the feast of the discovery of the Holy Cross, Kudchach, we call it, and there is the feast of the apparition. Now, we Armenians have a fourth feast, and that's called the Holy Cross of Varak. And that commemoration, that celebration, is coming up this Sunday, this coming Sunday. So I was ordained on the feast of Varak Achach, but it also has a date associated to it. At that time, it was September 26th was the Feast of Varaka. And this one, this year, it's September 30th. So the question is, do you celebrate on the 26th? Do you celebrate on the 30th, on the feast day itself? Well, how about if we take both of them, right? Why not celebrate more often? Of course you can celebrate a couple times. Actually, a priest should celebrate every single day because he's in the celebration business, the celebration of life. But it is also a time for reflection, and I think that's what my celebration always turns out to be. An opportunity to look at the game plan, to look at what the mission statement is, to gauge where you're at, the failures that you've had, the improvements that you're trying to make, to really sort out things. And so I have a chance to look at this particular passage. And I was very fortunate this week because last Sunday we celebrated Vaches Serpazan, Archbishop Vaches' dedication to the Armenian Church. There was a nice gathering, and they asked me to do the beginning, the opening, the prayer for that, and I had a chance to reflect. There were so many people there that really sincerely reflected upon him. It was really, really beautiful. Now, he's important in my life because, well, first of all, I love him, that's why, but also he is my spiritual father. He's the one who ordained me, and we refer to them as our spiritual father. So, in a sense, right at this week, I've had a chance to start off the week with a reflection with him, to share some time with him. I had a chance yesterday to reflect on this passage, and I want to share with you, because in a sense, part of this passage is you. The next dimension, the next step that we're taking. And certainly this next step is a big one because we're reaching out. And I wanted to share it with you so at least you know if you're following this ministry where we're at. And don't you think that that's our right to know? I mean, you know, at the very simplest thing, I heard an advertisement the other day. Here in America, there's this senior citizen thing. It's called ARP, Association of Retired Senior Persons, or whatever it is, ARP. Whatever. I'm not going to even try to figure out what the acronym is. So the other day I'm listening to a radio show, conservative talk show. You know, you have to kind of like know all the sides. So I'm driving along and the guy gets up and he says, "Why would you invest with ARP? Why don't you invest with us? Because you see where the money goes in ARP goes to these things. If you invest with us, also a senior advocacy group, you can then make sure your money goes to these conservative projects, blah, 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 blah." And the same is true for everything. Your ministry, your church, you're giving your money, you're giving your resources, you're giving your time. You should know what they're all about. What are they doing? What is the ministry? That's why I'm sharing with you today. This is so beautiful. In Armenian Orthodox tradition, our church fathers tell us, right at the time of ordination, this is what your mission is. You want to know what it's about? Look at what our fathers prescribe. I shared this with you a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Holy Cross. What is the story of the Holy Cross? You would think that on that Sunday, the gospel reading would be the crucifixion of Christ. It isn't. It's about the sign. It's about the power of the cross. It's about where that cross lights up. And in that light, you don't find a shadow. So when you are protected under the shadow of your holy and precious cross in peace, you are protected by the light of Christ. In the same way, you want to know what the church, what the priest is all about. You need to look at what is prescribed. And here it is. Our church fathers give it to us. It's the story of Christ starting off his ministry, and therefore every priest who is ordained starts off his ministry with this passage as the reading, as the lectionary, as the gospel reading for ordination. It's beautiful. I had the unique fortune, not only was it read at my ordination, but it also was it happened to be in the lectionary cycle. It happened to be the gospel at my first divine liturgy, what's called the Antranik Badarak. It was also the topic of my first sermon. So it's very, very special. And certainly on an anniversary, it's time to look at it. And you should be looking at it too. What is church about? What are we doing? Because if you're going to take the name of the Lord, you're going to be operating as a Christian church. Here it is. Here's the game plan. Let's follow it. It's right here. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," says Jesus, "because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Anointed. He's the anointed one, the Christ. It's the word from which we get chrism, muron, and every priest is anointed. Not just by laying on of hands, but is anointed. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. What is that good news? It's that you're not trapped. The kingdom of God is at hand, and it's accessible. It's yours. The good news is that it's not reserved for a few. It's not reserved for chosen people. You are chosen because you are a loved one of God. Every one of you has access to the kingdom of heaven. And it is not like before. It is not like what you've been brought up to believe, that there are certain people whose lot in life, who are fortunate, who are lucky, people who are in unique positions because of wealth. No, it's accessible to everyone. Open your heart. You have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor. And look at it. It's top priority to the poor. Yeah, if your church isn't doing this, there's something wrong, right? To the poor. The second statement, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. people who are hurting. I mean, talk about hurt. Have you seen this world? We're going to talk a little bit in a few minutes. I mean, we are watching this Kavanaugh nomination process. It is hurting. It's a hurting world. People are confused. If any time, if any place needs Christ, it is right now. And you as a priest have been ordained. You have been consecrated. You have been anointed to take this message to the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Who are those captives? Oh, no. They're not the people in concentration camps, refugee camps, in prison. Yeah, okay, they are captives. But you know, all of us are captives. Every single one of us has issues that prevent us from moving forward. We're captivated with our light. We're captivated by the things, by our possessions. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, that those things that you have acquired are not important, to give recovering of sight to the blind. Oh boy, that's a big one, right? I know, we know the blind people. They wear dark glasses to show that they don't have eyeballs. No. Again, put yourself in the shoes of others. We are all blind. We are blind to the beauty around us. How often have you looked around and really taken a moment to see the blessings that God has given you? I bet you just today, getting to where you're at, where you're listening to this podcast, did you take a moment to even just look at the beautiful life around you? Whether it's nature, whether it's people, and to be able to stop and thank God. Last night, we did a visitation. One of our dear girls had lost her grandmother. And, you know, you think about it. Grandmother, she was 80 years old. Yeah, by today's standards, it's not real old, but it is, you know, up there in years. And, you know, there's always this desire to have a little bit more life. And that desire is always, it doesn't matter how old they are. If they're 99, if they're 105, and they pass away, you say, well, at least one more day. If we had one more day. I'm not talking about these tragic losses where people have, you know, they're suffering. But when death comes unexpectedly, like it did for this beautiful woman, you say, oh, if there was only one more day. Yeah, of course, you always want it. But then you look at the life, and all you can do is be thankful, to thank God for the life. The Christian looks at life and looks at death and thanks God. Have you ever thought about that? The purpose of funerals are not about the person who's gone. It's about us. It's us, the survivors. What are we reacting? Are we taking a moment? Are we in our grief to really kind of understand that we've been touched by a life? That somebody touched us with their life? And the only thing you can say is thank you, God. Thank you for this beautiful life that touched us. And we can only hope that we do the same with our lives. Because you don't know what you're given. You don't know how long it's going to be. Some people get, you know, 30, 40 on the short end. Some people get 90, 100. A lot of people get in the middle there, somewhere between the 60s and 80s. 90s now, you know, it goes and you start thinking about life, meaning, purpose, all these kind of things. And at the end of it, the only thing you can say is thank God that this life was beautiful. And in fact, that's the Christian response to death. It's thank you. Thanksgiving. Thank you for this beautiful life. And your thankfulness increases, of course, as you fill up your life with more opportunities to do. And that's why Jesus calls us to this productive life of using your talents. Not hiding your talents, but go ahead and use them. Risk. Take advantage of this beautiful life that God has given us. Recovering of sight to the blind. Don't be blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There it is. And what Scripture says, what St. Luke says, is that Jesus closed the book at that time. That's very interesting, right? He closed the Scriptures. And he gives it back to the attendant. And he sits down and everybody's like looking at him. And what does he say? He says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, said John the forerunner. Christ comes in. The kingdom of heaven has been enacted today. Today, not at some time in the future. In your presence, this has been fulfilled. All right. Christ's mission, our mission, the body of Christ. Do we need any more clarification? There it is. And it's so, so well documented and given to us. It just requires us to plug into it. Now I'm going to talk a little bit more about the ordination. Actually, we are at a very unusual time today because here in America, there is the Kavanaugh hearings for Supreme Court. And it is like a circus. It's very sad. It's very, very sad because it's turned into this political exercise, and it's nothing new. It took place several years ago. It took place in 2016. Was it 2016 or 15? We had an opening for 10 months, and we couldn't get a nominee in there. We couldn't even get a nomination in there. Why? Because of politics. It's very sad. Because for a country that's built on laws, we have learned to abuse those laws. We still use those laws, but learned how to abuse those laws. And it's got our attention. It's definitely got our attention. Now we break every week. I'm going to come back with some more stuff. I've been to Boise, Idaho, or so you think. I've got some more things to share with you about the ordination and what's so special about this particular passage. But for right now, what I'd like to do is take a break. We play a song of the day every week. We feature an artist. Now, a couple weeks ago, I shared with you that I went to the concert of Jacob Armin, and I played for you a song off of his newest album, which is called When Drums Conduct. And I got some response from many of you who said that, well, you told us that he was a drummer, and we know, we've heard of Jacob as this drummer, and yet on his album you played a selection from Santur. Actually, those of you a little bit more astute kind of figured out that the Santur was doing the drumming, it was him playing the Santur, but if you listened carefully enough, there was some interesting beats going on. But because you requested it, I'm going to play you a completely unique one, which is off of his album When Drums Conduct, and this is called Drum Etude Number 11. Jacob Armin off of the When Drums Conduct album. We had a chance a couple weeks ago to see him in concert at the release of this album. It was just the most magical night. How else can I describe it? When you see him do it, just the way he plays those drums from every angle, every conceivable angle possible, the rhythms. And we had a very extra special treat because he also featured a couple songs with his father, Albert Armin, noted musician, and his delightful mother who sang. It was just a very magical evening. This was at the Alex Theater in Glendale, and this is off of his album. It's a double CD. It's called When Drums Conduct. And like I said, he does, there's a lot of different genres on the CD. It's a lot of music. It's not just drumming. But this particular one was in response to the people who wanted to hear drumming, okay? So you got it. You ask and you get it over here. Anyway, this particular one, let me see. I just lost the notes on it. This one is called Drum Etude number 11. It is off of the When Drums Conduct CD, and it is available. There'll be a link on today's show notes for you to not only hear this, but hear all of the great music and to read about Jacob Armin. Fascinating life, which we have had the pleasure of knowing since early childhood. He's a protege and just fascinating. Read what we put on the show notes and do support him. Do support all of the artists that we feature here on The Next Step. Well, I really don't know how far this is extending, how far it will go in the next couple days. No, I'm not talking about the next step. I know where we go. I know where we end up. You are so nice to let me know all the different places that are listening to the next step. I'm talking about what's going on, this circus, this political circus that's going on in America. I'm really wondering if it's going to reach, if it's going to be of interest to people in other countries, or if it is uniquely American, in other words, here in the United States. But what's happening is we have a vacancy in the Supreme Court, and the presidents get to nominate different judges for those positions. And so right now we have a conservative president, so he is nominating a conservative judge. And in response to what happened a couple years ago, if you remember Obama, which was from the Democratic Party, he suggested a judge. For 10 months they delayed it. They didn't allow him to put his person in there. Now, in response, the Democrats are it's payback now, you know, payback time. Let's prevent this guy from getting in, because in a couple weeks we have an election, midterm elections. We'll see who's in power and so on. And it's become this political circus. This is nothing new. It's not of the last couple years, but it's been going on. It's been going on where you might even say that it's the nature of politics, right? And, you know, this is where we clash. This is where we have some problems, because look what's happening right now. When I say we're clashing, I'm talking about religion, about faith, about Christianity specifically. Because what you have in politics is politics are about getting your agenda across, right? That's what it's about. It doesn't matter what kind of system you're in. You have an agenda. You want to get it across. Dictator does it. In democracies, you've got different parties that argue. In parliament, you've got different factions that come in and argue it. But it's getting your agenda across. Look at what Christianity's about. It's not about your agenda. It's about salvation. It's about the world coming first. In fact, Christ gives that example, right? If it was about him, he could have just kicked back and just kind of like ride out the storm. Oh yeah, there was unrest in Jerusalem. Okay, he could have played the politics. when Pilate called him up, when Caiaphas, when the chief priests, Annas brought him in for questioning, he could have, you know, given some answers, some smart quips, and kind of suppressed the energy that was going on in there. But no. What does he say? He says, it's for the salvation of the world. And for the world he came. For all of us. And what does he do? He sacrifices himself. He gives himself to the cause. And it's this conflict that we have. And so I'm asking you, I wonder how far this is going to go, because we're seeing it play out, and it's despicable. It's despicable because now they are using personal attacks. Now they are going after, well, we can't do it. We can't go by the legal means, so let's go after the personal attacks. And this is just such a common, childish way, okay? Like, I can't find a way of bringing you down, so we'll take some pot shots at you and hope one of them sticks, right? And I'm not just talking about Kavanaugh. This happens on all sides. It's the MO, the modus operandi, right? This is how they operate. Right, we can't discuss with you. We can't argue. We can't debate the thing because we're going to fail because we don't have anything that we can hold on to. So let's go after something very personal. We do this in church too, by the way. Church is a big place where this happens, and probably the reason why so many people are alienated from church, because you want to go there, you want to believe, and then what turns out is instead of people who, rather than working for the collective, they start arguing over things that really do not matter. They're personal attacks, and people get hurt. I mean, we see this all the time in churches, and you're seeing it unfold. If you look at social media right now, you know, you put up people want to argue about things. People want to share something, a bit of information. So they'll share it with a picture, with a drawing, or a few words or something. And then somebody will come out and they'll say, hey, look at that. You're wrong. But when they can't argue, what happens? It goes to a personal attack. Well, you're just stupid. You were brought up a wrong way. You know, you're just dumb. And then it goes on. I don't need to share with you all the expletives that are used in the way that they really just humiliate one another. And in fact, last week, if you remember, I told you that there was a new video coming out. It was a video that we just put out called, like, Get a Life. And I didn't expect it to go viral this fast, but I think today we're at 50,000. That's about 10,000 a day, 10,000 watches a day. And I'm very excited about it because it tells us that, you know, we're not the only ones that are making this criticism. That everywhere you look, you're seeing that people are getting tired of just being out there and having disrespect for one another. Not talking, not discussing. I mean, that's one of my favorite things, you know. In fact, if you've been following this ministry, you know our Bible studies are called Questions in Faith. And if you think about your greatest teacher in life, think about it right now. Take a moment. Think about who your favorite teacher was. Okay? Yeah, no, anywhere, in elementary school, high school, in college, wherever you were, who was your greatest, or even in secular life, maybe a grandma or somebody like that, who was your greatest teacher? I guarantee, it's not somebody who just came and lectured to you. It's not somebody who just gave you a bunch of facts. It's somebody who engaged you, somebody who actively gave you some thoughts and asked for your opinion, and you engaged in a dialogue. Our Bible studies are called Questions in Faith exactly for that reason. And interestingly enough, over the summer, Harvard Business Review, yeah, Father Voskin's been saying it for many years, but Harvard Business Review just talked about the best ways of learning. And they said it's about engaging people in that dialogue, about questions and answering those questions. All right, yes, definitely. We'll put a link on today's show notes because you're not going to believe that Father Voskin outwitted the Harvard Business Review. But, you know, check out the link, okay? And just remember, we did it 10 years ago. We were doing these questions of faith. But I'm bringing all this up because we have an opportunity today. As I suggested with you, that our anniversaries are opportunities for us to look at our lives. Think about the opportunity that's given to us every week in the form of an anniversary when you come to church. And, you know, I talk about church in many different ways. And usually I've heard an overabundance of sermons and people, well-meaning people, who will tell you that the church isn't the building. You've heard that. The church isn't the building. The church is the community of believers. But let me tell you also that the church is the building. The building has a unique function. It's a place set off from everything else where you can go and you can unload, unwind. And think about it. Every week you are given this one-hour little escape where you can go and kind of like think about what your mission was. How did you react to the mission from the last time you took communion to this time when you are reacting and accepting Jesus Christ in your life through the Holy Eucharist? And so each Sunday becomes an opportunity for you to be renewed. Each Sunday becomes an anniversary. And I use that word specifically because why are we celebrating on Sundays? Because it is the anniversary of the resurrection. Do not confuse Sunday with the Sabbath. There are some well-meaning people who will say that, well, Sunday is the new Sabbath. No, Sabbath is the Sabbath. Armenian word is the same. Shabbat, Sabbat, Shabbat. It is Saturday is the Sabbath. Take advantage of it. It is the last day. No, Sunday is the new day. Sunday, Giragi. Sunday is the day of resurrection. And that's why we celebrate it. We commemorate and we remember the anniversary of the resurrection. And so in remembering that anniversary, what do you got to do? Well, why don't you just do what Father Voskin does, right? What did I start off with? Okay, once a year I have an anniversary. Every one of us has birthdays where we think about our goals. Every one of us gets to New Year Day and we start saying, okay, how did we spend last year? Where's our year going forward? Think about it in a mini condensed form on our Sundays when we receive the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Body and Blood of Christ in our systems gives us an opportunity to renew, to charge up the batteries in a sense, but to move forward. And this is one of the beautiful things that we have about the church proper, the building. As much as we say it's the people, yes, I will agree, yes, it's the collection of the people, but also the church building has its place. And it's important that we separate ourselves for that 1 hour, if for nothing else, but to renew and to recharge, to look back and then to look forward. Now, I promised you something very special, and I'm going to give it to you because one of the rituals that I have at my ordination is I listen. I was very, 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 very fortunate that when I was ordained in 1982, I had two recordings made. And this is, I've got to tell you, it's before videos became so popular. I know. Right now, you have the camera in your pocket. You take out the phone and you're able to just record at will. Well, let me tell you, back in the old days, what we did, 1982, it was summer, and we were very fortunate at our wedding. We had Susan's Uncle Harry, who had this really cool video camera. And what was neat about it is that it recorded the video. What wasn't neat about it is that it was a huge, huge unit. Nothing you can put in your pocket, definitely. You needed like boxes to transport it. But we have pictures at our wedding where you could see the unit. And we are so grateful because he brought it. And we recorded. So we have our wedding is on video. Few months later, it was in September when I was ordained. And at that time, I was very fortunate again, a gentleman named Stephen Camborian from New York, he was out here and he recorded it. Father Vartan from the Central Valley. He had made sure that for the Sunday school program, we would have a video. So Steve Kamborian takes a video of this. Also, we had the Superscope. I took a pause because I need you to rewind and kind of figure out. If you're an ancient fossil like I am, you'll know that it was a division of Sony. We had a Superscope cassette recorder that took it, but it also broke down, so you could hear some really horrible noises in there. But I do have this audio recording and a visual recording, which never got made into a video, but in fact, I have the raw footage. So one day, it's on my giant to-do list is to go through it and kind of like edit it and put it in some kind of semblance of order so that you could watch it. And but in the meantime, I get to look at it every anniversary. I definitely, at the very least, I listen to the service. And I want to share with you a couple moments from that service today, specifically because I think the articulation in that service is so beautiful. And what do I mean by that? I mean that it is done in classical Armenian, one that people tell us that, oh, it's so difficult. But when you listen to it articulated, and maybe a little bit of coaching from me, which I'm happy to give you, you'll understand that in those words, there's a lot of power. And it's a power that cannot be translated. Now, I don't know if you're going to feel this. Maybe it's just completely emotional on my part, and that's why I get so excited about it. Or maybe you will find it, okay? But I'm gonna try something different, okay? Yeah, we're family, aren't we? We've been doing this for 11 years. Let's do something different. I'm going to play for you a portion from my ordination. This is from 36 years ago, okay? Off of one of these recordings that we had. The voice you're going to hear is Archbishop Vache Hovsepian. He is a BTW. He is the senior ranking clergyman in the entire Armenian world, Armenian church right now. And we're very fortunate. Just a few days ago, as I shared with you, we celebrated his ministry. We had an opportunity to be together. What you're going to hear is, during the calling service, he's going to say, Toriel amenain hokus. So Toriel is to let go. Amenain all hok is worries. Are you ready to forget about all earthly worries and sparmanis? These are the things that take away your attention. They are the things that consume us. Are you willing to forget about the worldly? And then he actually lists them. He says, as Jesus Christ says, unless you forget your father, your mother, your sister, and your brother, you cannot be a part of me. So I want you to listen very carefully and listen to the power of the words. It's just a couple seconds that you'll be hearing this, and then we'll come back. Okay, you got it? Oh, pretty nice, huh? I told you, if you have some basic Armenian understanding, you kind of got an idea. And the only reason, like I said, it's something brand new we're trying just with this recording. It's not going to be a regular feature of the next step. But I had to share it with you because I'm always moved when I hear these words because they are articulated. And I think this is one of the problems that we have when we say, I don't understand. We don't have articulation. We don't have the ability to share at a level where we're tuned in and listening. It's always like this negative experience, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to understand. And so we've automatically closed off our ears. That's why I'm giving you a little bit of preparation. It's an experiment, and I would love to hear your reaction to this experiment. Okay, let's listen to the second clip. The second clip takes place where The bishop is asking the candidate, do you anathematize? In other words, do you condemn what this guy is talking about? And he brings up the names of some of the most ancient of all heretics in the Christian church. I'll share with you a little bit of insight on that in just a couple of minutes, but I want you to hear this, okay? So specifically, he's going to say, nezoves. Nezoves means anathematize, okay? Do you anathematize this man? In this case, it is money hetzvatzolson. So this is Manes of Manichaeus. He's the heretic who said that there were two gods, one good and one evil. And now listen to it. Okay, listen very carefully and you'll follow it along. Again, just basic Armenian, but when it's articulated, this is classical Armenian, but when it's articulated with basic understanding, you can just follow it along. It's not about knowing each word's translation. It's about understanding the concept. Here's the second clip.
Nezoves es mani hertsvatzogn vor asats yergu astvats min pari yev min char.
How was that? Huh? See? I told you, it's painless. Anyway, there is something interesting about these heretics in the Armenian church. We bring up these heretics on the night of the ordination. It's called the service of calling. And it's to basically call the candidate into the service of priesthood. And to begin with, we do an inspection of faith where we require the candidate to anathematize. Anathema means, you know, something you completely dislike. You could also say it's like to condemn, you know, like, I don't want this person. I vehemently dislike this person's belief. So there is a list of these heretics, early church heretics, who we are required to renounce, to anathematize, you know, say, Hrajarim yevnezovem. Renounce and I anathematize, vehemently oppose these people. Well, what's interesting is that some of these people that we remember wouldn't be remembered if it wasn't for us. Yeah, it's kind of ironic, right? It's the church that remembers them. The irony being that, you know, if we're telling people anathematize them, you know, we dislike them, they're heretics, but we're going to remember them. It's like, you know, what can I liken it to? Nash Rambler. Many of you listening don't even know what a Nash Rambler is, but because I said it, you may be inclined to Google it and find it. It was a car that came out in the 50s or 60s, I believe 60s, and it just didn't work. Didn't work. It had all the markings for a failed experiment, and I think it was a Chrysler. I can't remember. Or it was Nash. Excuse me. It was Nash Rambler put it out and had push button transmission. Yeah, didn't make it. So it'd be like me sitting here now 60 years later and talking about the Nash Rambler when I didn't want you to know about it, but I'm telling you about it. Well, I don't want you to know about these heretics. And we bring them up. Every ordination, we bring them up. It is a beautiful, beautiful service of calling. And I hope with just these couple clips, you understand why, for me, I have a chance every year at the anniversary of my ordination to look back and reflect, where am I in reference to the mission statement of the church, in reference to preaching it to the poor, in reference to enlightening people's lives, bringing them a better today. And at the same time, it's an excitement for me to hear, because I guess it connects me with that time, to hear this service, to review it, to remember what my calling is all about. Oh, yes, thank you. I just reminded you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So what we did is back in 1998, Father Sarkis Petoyan, he was going to be ordained. The deacon was going to be ordained into the priesthood. I had thought about this entire idea of, like, why do we remember people that we want to forget? And we were talking at the time. I'd been a priest, 15 years at that point. And it had bothered me that, You know, we're the ones that keep these heretics alive. So we talked about it, and an idea came to us, like, why not include some of the modern-day heretics? So we went and talked with Archbishop Vacha at the time, and he agreed. He agreed to the addition of modern-day heretics in the service. So I was very honored that he asked me to write up that extra section, and we were able to include it in Father Sarkis's ordination. So along with the list of heretics that we anathematize, let's see, I have a beautiful book that he prepared on the occasion. It says, do you anathematize Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, who professed that the persons of the Holy Trinity are three separate gods, that God the Father was once a man, and that mortal men may one day become gods themselves? Do you anathematize Charles Taze Russell and Joseph Rutherford, founders of the Watchtower Society, and their followers, known as Jehovah's Witness, who distort the truth by proclaiming that God is one person called Jehovah, and that Jesus, as a creation of Jehovah, was at time the Archangel Michael? I mean, think about it, okay? Yeah, that's nice that we condemn these heretics from the 4th century, but these are people that are going around, floating around, and telling people that, you know, this is what Christianity is. And again, I'm not here to tell one person that your faith is not good, my faith is better. I'm here to say that if you're going to use that title of being a Christian, there is a certain standard, namely the Nicene Creed, namely you have to believe Father, Son, Holy Spirit is the formula for Christianity. And these other heretics are going around telling people, well, this is also Christianity. No, I'm sorry, it isn't. And at least in the Armenian Church of that day, we were able to include this. Do you anathematize Sun Myung Moon, founder of the Unification Church, who claims that God is both positive and negative, and that Jesus was perfect man but not God, born of Zechariah and not a virgin? There you go. Do you anathematize Mary Baker Eddy, founder of Christian Science, who claimed that God is all that truly exists and that matter is an illusion, so that Jesus was not the Christ, but a man who displayed the Christ idea? Do you anathematize L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, who rejected the biblical description of God and the redemptive act of Christ Jesus? Anyway, just a sideline. As we are looking, as we are inspecting, and we are basically finding an opportunity to evaluate ourselves. That opportunity happens to be an anniversary. Every Sunday you have that anniversary of the resurrection. You have an opportunity to look at life, to see where you're at. And here's the beautiful part about it. No matter where you're at, Jesus gives you this opportunity to start brand new. Each anniversary, each celebration of the Eucharist is an opportunity to start brand new, because Christ, the newness, God is within you. Take advantage of that. Let's take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all your prayers, your wishes, all the emails, all the fun things that we get to share during the week. Yes, I was not in Boise, Idaho, as promised. And by now you've probably heard, if you were waiting for me in Boise, Idaho, you've heard. But if not, let me just share with you. I got on a plane. It was Alaska Airlines that took me up to Seattle. They were delayed by 2 hours. So literally by 5 minutes, I missed the connecting flight to get to Boise. There were no other flights that would have gotten me there in time. Much to their credit, as much as I was frustrated, Alaska helped me in finding a way back to LA immediately, and we were able to send the files, namely the prayer that I was going to do for the opening of the genocide monument and the Archbishop's words via email. They were read at the ceremony, and our Greek brother in Christ, the Greek priest up in the area, did the service of consecration, or I should say more of a blessing of the monument. So sorry I missed you in Boise. If there's another chance to get up there, I look forward to it. I will make sure that if I do get up there, it's going to be a day before. I will not leave it to the chance of airlines running late. Let's see, I think I'm at St. James. Not sure. We could check in with me, but if there, I would love to see you over there. Got a big event coming up, October 14th. Want to mark it on your calendar. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, Merhuis, one of the most important projects that we have going on in Armenia. Inissues is a proud sponsor of this event. They're going to have a fundraiser, a concert out in Calabasas. Tickets are about $100 a piece, a well-deserving cause. Do get your tickets right now, and there'll be a link on our show notes, along with links to everything else we talked about today. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Do check in with us during the week at all the usual social media outlets, and of course at inissues.org. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top with it.